Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. A once great jazz trumpeter in his declining years is in a European capital to play a private performance at a royal wedding. A simple gig for the money, right? Minor problem, he's a junkie prone to ODing before a performance. Major problem, there's a gangster who wants to see him dead or at least injured before the performance. And the hitman assigned to his case, it's his own doppelganger. Throw in a vampire and a kidnapped 14-year-old girl and the world starts to spin out of control. Can he ever escape this dreamland from hell? Dreamland is a new fantasy comedy drama thriller with a good bit of horror thrown in too. It stars Stephen McAddy in the two lead roles and is directed by Bruce McDonald. Stephen's known for his sketchy, hard-boiled characters from Watchmen to Come to Daddy. Bruce is a prize-winning chronicler of Canada's rough underbelly on TV and film from Roadkill to Weirdos, known for his punk sensibility and hardcore tastes. They made the cult classic Pontypool back in 2008. About zombies attacking a radio station very much like CIUT, and they're back again together with a new film. Dreamland is now playing VOD across Canada. I'm very pleased to have Stephen McAddy and Bruce McDonald here to tell us more, or virtually here, to tell us more about Dreamland. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Daniel. Thanks for having me aboard.
Thanks for coming, and hi, Stephen.
Hey, Daniel. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Okay, how are you both handling this pandemic?
Well, I'm pretty fortunate. I'm handling it pretty well, I think.
Okay, yeah. So let's talk about Dreamland. Stephen McAddy, you play both a jazz trumpeter trying to stay alive and the hitman with a heart of gold with an order to kill him. Talk about these two conflicting characters and what it's like playing them both.
Yeah. One of the characters came out of a little movie I had done with the director, writer, Robert Boudreau, called The Deaths of Chet Baker. And it's kind of trying, you know, doing different versions of Chet Baker's death. And Bruce saw it and figured we'd try and do something with it. So that was one of the characters. And the other character came out of the little coda at the end of Pontypool, at the end of the title sequence, or the, what is it, the... What do you call that?
Tail credits.
At the end, the credits. There was a little scene there with Lisa and I, and that was the other character. So they were characters that kind of existed for all of us. And it was just a matter of... trying to figure out how they behaved in the script and how they behaved when they ran into each other.
Well, Bruce, what's it like with the gangster and the Chet Baker-like character and everything else going on? What led you to make this movie? Did Stephen start of it and you said, well, you did that last one, I'm going to definitely do this one, or what drew you into this project?
Well, I think part of it came out of the gang that we had put together for Pontypool. Tony Burgess, the writer, Lisa Houle, the actress, and Stephen, the actor, and me, the director. And it was a fun adventure. And so the impulse is always to try to, you know, work with people that you like and people that you know are going to really deliver. So when Stephen... I guess I don't know how I saw it, but the short film that Stephen mentioned, The Deaths of Chet Baker, I was like, wow, that is like a perfect Chet Baker. And I'm a big music fan. I've always loved music, and it always is a big inspiration for me. So that kind of just set us in motion, I think. And things don't happen overnight, but it was sort of developed. We developed it together, and we kind of would check in with Stephen and Lisa with the different versions of the script, and they would be really helpful. So it was kind of, it felt like continuing a journey that we enjoyed being on. Mm-hmm.
Stephen, yeah. I saw you a couple months ago in Come to Daddy, and not a spoiler anymore, and other movies. You die a lot. You die a lot in movies. How come you die so much? What's it like to die on camera?
People want to kill me, I guess.
Any special death tricks?
In a lot of plays, especially if you're doing tragedies, you know, I came out of theater. So, you know, you have to do it a lot. Die again, Mortimer. Remember the Fantastics? You don't.
The Fantastics? Yeah, I saw that.
Sure.
Yeah, remember Die Again, Mortimer?
Yeah.
It's a curious little trick of, you know, keeping your focus and, you know, you learn. You know, I used to scuba dive, so it helps with how you breathe, you know, so you can't be caught breathing. But it sort of comes out of what I kind of go by a little thing I read that Spencer Tracy said. My whole aim is not to get caught acting.
It's a very good measure to live by, I think.
Definitely.
In any situation, yes.
Aside from the Pontypool connection, this movie has two iconic figures. I'm talking about Henry Rollins and Juliette Lewis, who are known for their unique, over-the-top personalities. What's it like working with them?
With Juliette and Henry, I'd worked with them both before and enjoyed them. Juliette, shares some similarities with Stephen in the sense that, you know, she comes very prepared. She's fearless. She is extremely good in the moment and listening to other actors. You know, both Stephen and her are very generous actors, and they're very, prepared. So they're, you know, they can kind of take a moment and go with something. They can use their preparation, or they can go in a completely different direction. Now, Henry, as you know, comes from music, so he doesn't have the same training and the same probably level of confidence that Stephen and Juliette have. He's a quite a nice man, and he's an eclectic fellow with many different tastes. He runs a publishing house. He is involved. He has a radio show. He does spoken word thing. So he's kind of just a curious fellow about the world. So, and he's quite enamored, I think, with acting. He has done some, not as much as, you know, Stephen and Juliette have both been acting since they were teenagers. So, you know, Henry was the new guy to the party, and he was a bit nervous. But, you know, Stephen and everybody was there to kind of help him out. So, you know, again, having people come to the table that, you know, have been part of the ensemble before always makes it, for me anyway, makes it a kind of a pleasure, and it's fun.
The movie was shot mainly in Europe. In Luxembourg, I mean, it appeared to have been anyway, Luxembourg and Belgium, with these like not antique, but these beautiful old European castles and bridges and buildings and hotels, plus some a little more skeezy looking indoor scenes with the gangsters. What brought you to Europe? Did you decide to make a movie in Europe, or was that part of the deal for making the movie?
Well, we're Canadians, so we were always trying to head south.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruce went and looked at a whole bunch of different places, mostly warm places. Were you thinking about Italy at one time?
Yeah, we were thinking about Calabria. Were you thinking about Havana?
Yeah. Oh, wow. That would have been cool.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you decide, or sometimes the film gods decide for you. I mean, independent films are made outside the gates of Hollywood. So financing and putting a film together is often a kind of a curious adventure in its own right. And so the script and the project was embraced by a fellow who we've affectionately come to know as Jesus of Luxembourg. And he liked the material a lot. And he said, well, you know, if you guys could find a way of shooting it here, I would come up with the money.
So the beautiful locations for that. I'm wondering about the influence. I looked at the vampire. To me, that shouted Nosferatu, and the scene where Stevens with the little girl and little boy felt like Luc Besson's The Professional, Leon. And there are lots of movie quotes and references to other things. What when you were making the film, Bruce?
Yeah.
What were you drawing from?
Well, it's funny. Like, I weirdly don't often draw from movies because I don't see very many movies for some reason. I'm not sure why. But, you know, the movies that I can think of quickly, I mean, those are both really interesting references. Part of my inspiration, or the things I would go to, was a little bit of Alice Cooper, early Alice Cooper, Love It to Death and Killer, and Raymond Chandler, like his weird atmosphere, his kind of strange logic, and his, yeah, so that was, because it's very detective-y and very noir-y.
Very.
You know, writers like William Burroughs, who played a lot in this sort of world of cut-ups and slightly surrealistic notions and junkie culture.
Yeah.
Of course, Chet Baker and Miles Davis, like jazz men and other related jazz men like, you know, Bud Powell and Charlie Parker, those sorts of, you know, atmospheres. And, you know, I always found those people kind of romantic. And when I think of those jazz men especially, I tend to go back to the 40s and 50s, which kind of helped us color our atmospheres a little bit, I think, in the movie. Yeah, I don't know. Stephen, what about you? What, you know, is it movies for you, or is it, you know, music or books sometimes? I know you do a lot of reading and preparation.
Yeah. I always think of it like a few times I've been able to buy a new car. Suddenly the world, all I'm looking at is cars. You know, whereas usually I'm not that interested in them, but, oh, there's one of those more, you know. So when I'm trying to work on a project, it seems like everything refers, you know, I can kind of like true. Everything I'm doing in some way, I can see a connection to it. You know, I don't have a manual for acting. You know, so it just kind of, the whole world kind of comes alive in terms of the script, you know?
Well, this movie definitely came alive, and as well as dying a few times visually, and truly unique movie with iconic players, fascinating plot. I love the Pontypool. I think everyone should take a look at this one. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
That's great, Daniel. Thank you.
I've been talking with Stephen McAddy and director Bruce McDonald, whose new film, Dreamland, is now playing on video on demand across Canada. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.